And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This show goes from, like, Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga, and I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains that we call Auburn, War Eagle, straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning, and then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio footprint, just the radio. Oh, by the way, there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, logging into the live stream, looking right in on the studio, AV and all of it. So yeah, your places like X and YouTube and Rumble and Facebook and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then all y'all that podcast the show after the fact, hear me when I say it. I say this several times a show on purpose. We can see the fact that y'all watch the show, listen to the show in other places, all over the place, everywhere you get it. Doesn't matter to us. The fact that you do is what means something. And y'all are the only reason why we do it. So thank you very much. Appreciate you. More than you could possibly know. I've got to make sure I point out, too, there's a liberal Phil Williams, I think sort of in our listening area.
He's in Nashville.
He's in Nashville, which we reached to the Nashville, lower Nashville area, the metro Nashville area. His name is Phil Williams. He's an investigative reporter. Dude is uber liberal. Like, does not deserve the name Phil Williams.
He currently has a beef with our friend Matt Murphy, too, up in Nashville.
Oh, so. Of course he does. Yeah. Constantly. And every once in a while, when Murph actually posts something about him online, I have to respond to the reply and say, just a reminder, I am not him.
Yeah.
But he just posted, the other Phil Williams just posted, Happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
Of course.
Got a nice little meme. Looks like a Hallmark card. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day. There you go.
I've seen a couple of people comment on, like, some of your posts and go at you about something the other Phil Williams said, and then they come back shortly and go, oh, wait, sorry. Wrong person.
Then there is, by the way, my other friend Phil Williams in Huntsville.
Yeah, who also was in the Alabama.
He was a good dude.
Also in the Alabama State Senate.
Very conservative, yeah. He was in the House and I was in the Senate. We were in there at the same time. So, yeah, that's my twin, Phil Williams.
It's a common name.
It's apparently like the new John Smith.
But you got the junior, so the Phil Williams junior.
I do have the junior. That's right. I received a very good name from my father. And I'm a 2L Philip. That's very important,
that's
too.
That's true, yeah.
Let's don't mistake these 1L Phillips. They don't know. And by the way, I got to say, speaking of names, I was just commenting to JP the other day. It occurred to me as I was thinking about the show over the weekend that there are some people that we haven't heard from in a long time. Like, we used to hear from Brian from Huntsville almost daily, and even on text at the very least, haven't heard from Brian from Huntsville, and I can't tell you when. Now, we have more than one Brian in our text lines, so I don't know that we can just text him and say, hey, dude, where are you? But anyway, Brian from Huntsville, if you're listening, I have noticed you're missing in action, and I'd like to know you're all right. Chris from Sterrett, Alabama says, Happy Columbus Day, JP, and go Vols.
Hey, I'll have my cigar ready at the game this Saturday.
Is that this weekend?
It is.
Yeah.
I'll have my cigar ready.
Cigar ready. Nofre from Lexington says, Alyssa Farrah Griffin from The View said she would wear a Trump MAGA hat if she got the hostages released. You think she'll go and do it? If she does, Joy Behar will have a stroke. You know what? We'll see. I saw that literally, Nofre, I saw that like 10 minutes ago during a break, the replay of her saying that. And I thought, that's going to be interesting. Victor from Huntsville says, Phil, it occurs to me that indigenous people were free to explore and discover Europe, yet they never did. Why not? Didn't have sails? I don't know. Roger from Madison says, tell Keith from Parts Unknown that Roger says, hey. Okay.
He also sent a text before it. I thought was pretty
okay,
good.
What do we got? Oh, he says, it's Indigenous Peoples Day for the woke left, yet we can't have the Cleveland Indians or the Washington Redskins. Which is it? If I were a betting man, well, I'd probably be at a casino owned by the Porch Creek. Okay. You know, I guess what we could have is the Cleveland Indigenous Peoples team.
Well, he's got a good point about the baseball names and the sports teams' names, because those were literally the names of the teams to honor the indigenous people. So,
well, they don't like the name Indian, and they don't like the name Redskin. But the Redskin symbol is actually like the people that
that was an actual
image of a Native American chief, I believe.
Yeah,
and they want it back.
Yeah, the family of that guy of the chief wants it back. They actually wrote a letter saying how much they wanted it back.
Why don't they just call it the Washington Warriors and be done with it?
Yeah, or yeah, the Commanders is lame.
And, yeah, Commanders. Well, what was really lame was the season they had no name.
Yeah, the Washington
had a,
football team.
Had a W
team.
On the side of their helmet, and that was it.
The Washington football team.
Yeah, the Washington football team. It's kind of like Prince did, the team formerly known as the Redskins.
Yeah.
Jerry from Decatur, this was my sixth grade graduation speech in 1962. Christopher Columbus, who made the voyages long ago into waters strange and weary, into realms he did not know. Christopher Columbus, what a joy he must have felt when he landed on that isle in that wild and unknown belt. Said, I too have, it's the poem, I just realized. Said, I too have made voyages most wonderful to me. I too have gone adventuring into an unknown sea. In the good ship education, like a manner of old, I sail the sea of knowledge with courage strong and bold. It takes courage to believe the truth, airborne. Jerry, you still remember that after all these years, unless you're carrying that in your wallet, which would be kind of creepy. But I think that's kind of cool. I like it. Speech in 1962. You know, I've got the one that's still stuck in my mind is one of our listeners actually went to school with me in grade school. And I think it's Roger from Huntsville. It could be Roger from Madison, who just got up there in front of the class and said, fishy, fishy in a brook. Daddy caught him on a hook. Mama fried him in the pan and baby ate him like a man. And that was his.
That's pretty good.
That was his poetry for the week.
Not intuitive there.
SF guy, that's Special Forces. SF guy from Huntsville says, Colonel, about your comment about those.
No, that's an old
that's
one.
That's an old one. I'm scrolling down. Scrolling down. I see it. He sends me a meme. He's got a picture of one of the ships.
It says Chapter 1, Make America.
Ah, nice. Now it's Make America Great Again. Last two, and then I'll go into content. David from Huntsville says, Phil, I will use those words next time my Democrat mother-in-laws are talking about how we stole this land. You use it, brother, and you can just go ahead and claim it as your own. I'm fine with that. Dave from Capshaw says, in 1492, most knew the world was round. The reason Columbus made his voyage is that Muslims had shut down all the trade routes to China and India. Okay. Thank you, Dave from Capshaw. I'm not sure where to go next. Okay. All right. Hey, listen. It is Columbus Day. That is really not the focus of the Dipper, but I did want to go ahead and make sure that was known. I had that monologue already in my head and half prepared before all the news about today's events broke. We kind of knew this day was coming, but I'll be honest with you, the things that have transpired now in real life in the last 10 or 12 hours have been history-making. So let's set aside Columbus Day for a little bit. And let's talk about peace breaking out in the Middle East. There's still a lot to be done. And let's not look at this as a part of the world that will have no conflict. But I think we can say safely, though, that we have seen a change to the geopolitical landscape in the Middle East today. And the Trump administration is being lauded for this. President Donald Trump himself is being lauded for this. This is an amazing day. I can't understate that enough, or can't overstate that enough. What am I trying to say? There's no way I could overstate that. Thank you, Phil. Use your words. But the fact that we have a peace accord that has now been signed by Hamas and Israel and by surrounding nations and by the President of the United States, who, man, does the guy ever sleep? Does Trump ever sleep? I like to joke that sleep is highly overrated. He's got me beat, I'm pretty sure.
Well, he went to the Middle East late last night to where it was morning in the Middle East, and now he's coming back to America where it's now daytime. So he's essentially going on, what is that, two days worth of no sleep?
Yeah.
That's insane.
I feel certain he's got a nice bedroom on Air Force One, but
I'm not sure he'll sleep much on the Air Force. Maybe take a nap. Maybe a little lay down on the couch, take
course,
a nap.
We already know the guy only gets like 4.5 to 5 hours sleep a night anyway. Mm-hmm. He's indefatigable on that point, but I mean, his tweets are coming out at 3 a.m. But yeah, what happened today? He's on his way back already. He left last night. He went to the Middle East to speak to the Israeli Knesset, to witness the return of the remaining hostages, to sign a peace accord with 20 world leaders, and to spend time meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel. And he also met with the president of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas. And then he met with families of the returning hostages. Then he got back on a plane. He's coming back to business. I don't think Biden could have gotten up the steps to Air Force One in the time that Trump has gone over there and done all that and is on his way back. Just saying.
And it's not just the president. It's the whole administration that is putting in the hours. Rubio, Whitcoff, like everybody is working.
They are running and gunning.
Yeah, their tails off. Where not just Biden himself as the president not doing much. It seemed like the administration as a whole was pretty not very impressive. Let's just say that.
Well, and what we're watching too is something that even the left is now having to go, well, grudgingly, good job. Bill Clinton just put out a statement basically praising Trump for his work in this. And it is being said right now that this would not have happened without President Trump's personal involvement, not just his administration, which did great work. Secretary Rubio, Special Envoy Witkoff, Jared Kushner, their teams were just constantly going at it. But it was President Trump himself getting on the phone with world leaders in the Middle East to deal with this. And we'll talk about several other factors that I think all contributed to what we're watching as a historic event taking place. So when you're having those water cooler conversations, you guys, when y'all are having those conversations at Sunday school this week or someone at work or whatever else, or in the fast food line, or that, you know, your liberal aunt comes to dinner and you got to say something, I'm about to arm you with all kinds of things to think about why this day is indeed so significant. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams is back in studio with you momentarily. Hey folks, Phil Williams here. I want to remind you that Inspire Advisors is one of our sponsors and they are doing amazing work. Look, I know this audience, you're the kind of folks who believe in standing up for your principles. You're good stewards of your resources. But what if the companies you were investing in don't reflect your values at all? Well, that's why you need to meet Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors. Because Inspire Advisors, they are experts in the field of biblically responsible investing. They can help you grow your bottom line while also be proud of what companies you're investing in. Inspire Advisors, check them out. Their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com, and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades, y'all. That's what we're doing. Pulling pins on truth grenades. All right. So what you are watching today, I need to go ahead and give you a couple of things. I'm going to give you a few thoughts to help you go be the expert in your own sideline conversations with this topic. All right. So bottom line, I've said it before, but there's a thing called DIME. And when you're looking at the projection of foreign policy on the world stage, DIME is diplomacy, intelligence, military, and economics. It's those four things that are what combines to make the true projection of foreign policy actually effective. The Biden administration never got that. By the way, I didn't make that up. That's been taught for years. All right. That is truly the application of those four things to create a foreign policy projection. Diplomacy, intelligence, military, and economics. Some say the I stands for information. It could be that too. But the reality is diplomacy, intelligence, military, economics. The Biden administration was into appeasement. The Biden administration was into estrangement. And the Biden administration was also into wokeness and virtue signaling and making demands that dealt with nothing that the foreign nation that you were dealing with would want to be a part of. Like, well, you're going to have more transgender rights before we can talk to yous. You know, we're gonna need to talk to you about your usage of electric vehicles and the carbon footprint of your nation first. Stop it. We want to make sure that we've got enough condoms in your country before we can, you know, move forward with our geopolitical organizational opportunities for, you know, transnational agreements. Stop it. The Trump administration, on the other hand, has been applying DIME pretty effectively, and that's what we're watching. What you just saw today was not just about what happened today. There's a thing called the establishment of the battlefield, all right, or the enablers that come into effect that bring the battlefield commander into a position where he's got a shaped battle space. Picture that in foreign policy now. You don't just have Trump showing up to sign a deal that everybody sat around a table and hashed out, and then they all decided, well, we can live with that one, and they did. No, you have Iran being bombed. And so now on the world stage, and especially in the Middle East, the fomenter of terror and the big angry elephant in the room being Iran is no longer the issue that it was before. You got the Houthis because of Iran being sidelined, because we bombed their nuclear facilities. Now we don't have to worry about an arms race between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Now we also have the Houthis and Hezbollah and, of course, Hamas all being sidelined because they don't have the same level of support they used to have from their, you know, their giant benefactor in the sky, Iran. So that's one of the first things that happened. One of the enablers on this entire situation was the Trump administration willing to bring to bear all aspects of dime, including military force, the Middle East could then see that and they recognized, ooh, we are not dealing with an administration that is going to put down red lines they won't enforce, because this is the Trump administration. There's also economics. Massive sanctions, but also dangling the deal. Hey, if you'll work with us, we'll make you extremely, you know, powerful in your own arena. We'll do trade negotiations. We'll lower our tariff rates. We'll do certain things that help make you successful and us successful too. But if you screw with us, guess what? We can raise the tariffs and we can put sanctions in place and we can embargo your nation and we can make it very difficult. We can put second and third order tariffs in place too. People who want to work with you, guess what? They face additional tariffs just because they worked with you. Oh, by the way, we can freeze your assets. We know where they are. And then there's diplomacy. Trump did not sit back and let the auto pen do the work. Trump got personally engaged, and that matters. That absolutely matters. Because even though it's on a global stage, it is still about personal relationships. Trump and Bibi Netanyahu talk all the time. Trump was willing to talk to not just Israel, but he was willing to talk to the Hamas negotiators. Trump was willing to talk to Egypt. Trump recently met with President Erdogan of Turkey. Trump has been very engaged in the process. Trump has even reached out to the Iranian leaders before he had to bomb them. Trump is willing to have one-on-one conversations because he has built a lifetime of negotiating heavy transactions. He's not afraid to get on the phone and bring a little heat to bear when necessary, or get on the phone and bring a little love. He'll do it, and he's done it. And they are saying that that is a big part of what just happened. So you've got the full employment of dime, the diplomacy, the intelligence, the military, the economics. You've also got the personal engagement. All of that has brought to bear what the Biden administration could never do. The Biden administration, and even when I was on CNN last week, that was one of the topics because the news was breaking the night that I was there. What night was that, Thursday? The news was breaking the night that I was there that the peace agreement was being agreed to. Now, today it's been signed, but the peace agreement was being agreed to last week. We went on the air. It was the only kumbaya moment in the entire show where no one could take fault with the fact that we were arriving at a peaceful solution. Still things to be worked out, surely. But the framework is there, and the first steps have already been accomplished. Now, that being said, we were also sitting there talking about the fact that the Biden administration, even Abby Phillip herself said on the show that night, the host, that she didn't believe the Biden administration could have done this. And she even asked the liberal congressman who was sitting across from me, Dan Goldman, why didn't Biden get this done? Because he couldn't get it done. What'd you have, man? You have something?
I'll say 1 minute.
Oh, I thought you were about to.
Nah.
I thought you hit your mic button to say
I'm not
something.
One of those finger pointing guys. Actually,
let me tell you something. You're so good with content. I felt sure you were about to jump in on something. All right, listen, we're going to come back from this break. I've got a clip that I want to play you of Trump speaking to Israel's Knesset today. And then we're going to talk about some of the actual details in the weeds of things that are big storylines and some behind the scenes that I think everybody needs to be aware of. David of Bucky's checked in. He says, Phil, the Biden administration could never compare to the success of the current administration. The Biden administration couldn't even decide what pronouns to use. No doubt. They were majoring in the minors, brother. And then Brian S. from Huntsville says, I went and wished the other Phil Williams a happy Columbus Day on his X account. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you. As always, what a great audience. All right, listen. We're taking a break. We'll come right back. When we get back, like I said, stay tuned. We'll have a clip of Trump speaking to Israel's Knesset. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday. Meatloaf Monday, because it's always about the food. All right, so world leaders are actually praising Trump for this peace settlement in the Middle East. And I pray that this continues. You know, by the way, the memes are writing themselves right now. Great memes. I see one right here on End Wokeness on Twitter that says, 1 year ago, Trump became an employee at McDonald's, and now a McDonald's worker has brought peace to the Middle East.
I like the Babylon Bee one too. Hitler brings peace to Israel.
Yes, that's, you know, it's amazing what they've been calling him. And yet, and I was telling my wife this morning as we were watching the news as I was about to walk out the door. I said, you know, the crazy thing is, it doesn't matter what they've done. They've done everything to not only try to ruin him as a person, they tried to crush his soul, tried to crush his spirit, and he just keeps on doing stuff. I don't know what it's going to take for the left to finally go, we can't beat him. But they're going to continue to try and denigrate everything that happens. But right now, what I will say is they're having trouble finding fault with this. Now, Trump also spoke to the Israeli Knesset today. And Israel is actually trying to, or are looking at giving him a major peace award. So is Egypt. Egypt is looking at giving him the award called the, I think it's called the, hang on a second, I'll find it. I got it right here. Something of the Nile, the Order of the Nile. The Order of the Nile is the highest award given to a civilian authority in the country of Egypt. And then the greatest peace award that Israel has, they're looking at giving to Trump also. There's also talk that Benjamin Netanyahu is joining in with others, world leaders, nominating Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize, which was just awarded last week, and it went to a, went to someone who seems to be deserving. She's an activist against the Venezuelan socialist government. But
she actually also credited her prize to Trump for what he's done to neutralize Maduro and put him on his heels in Venezuela.
That's
so
true.
I think it's interesting to note
that is interesting
as well.
To note. But let's go ahead and listen to what Trump had to say to the Knesset, because this is a very short clip, about 45 seconds of a longer speech, obviously. But he spoke to them passionately. After flying across the world to be there just in time to step up to the stage and meet. I mean, think about where we were, by the way, just a year ago. We had a president that would not have been able to make this trip. And if he did make the trip, he would have required a full day of rest before he was able to find his way to the stage. And then he would still have to have help getting off the stage. Trump just jumps on the plane, flies over there. Everybody's exhausted when they get there. He just walks up like bulletproof and just takes a stand and makes a speech. So here is President Trump speaking to the Israeli Knesset just this morning. Go ahead.
And after so many years of unceasing war and endless danger, today the skies are calm, the guns are silent, the sirens are still, and the sun rises on a holy land that is finally at peace, a land and a region that will live, God willing, in peace for all eternity.
Several things in that phrase. It is, having spent time in the Middle East, I will tell you that there is that level of prose in your speech is also important, very descriptive in their language. And for him to say, the skies are calm, the guns are silent, the sirens are still, and the sun rises on a holy land that is finally at peace. Number one, he called it the Holy Land, which for both Islam and, of course, Judaism and Christianity, this is the Holy Land. Didn't matter who he was speaking to. It's all considered the center of gravity for those faiths. But he also, he ended it. I'll tell you what, let's play it again real quick. I want to hear the last part of what he said, because I think this is very important. Go ahead and play it.
Just one second.
Oh, you got to cue it back up. Sorry. I totally right. called an audible.
Yeah, here we go. We're good.
All right, go.
And after so many years of unceasing war and endless danger, today the skies are calm, the guns are silent, the sirens are still, and the sun rises on a holy land that is finally at peace, a land and a region that will live, God willing, in peace for all eternity.
When he said God willing, there is a phrase that is used in the Arabic world, sometimes as an excuse, oftentimes as a exclamation point. Many times it is done as a descriptive or an emphasis, but it's inshallah. They say it all the time, and it means God willing. And so what he just did there was he uttered a phrase that they could not argue with. It is the phrase that is often used in the Middle East to not only put emphasis, but to provide context of why something cannot be argued with, or for that matter, why something cannot be excused. So what he just basically did was he said, peace, He said it in a way that they could relate to. He said it in a way that honored every faith that's represented in that part of the country or that part of the world. And then he put the inshallah on it, and they can't argue with that. It was actually a phrase that every single member of that room, no matter what their position in life is or what country they represented, was like, probably sat back in the chair and went, well, he got us. He got us because he said it. He said, if God is willing, and we know. And now it's just been invoked, and that's the emphasis point. That's the exclamation point. That's the thing. So there's a little nugget for you. I don't know who wrote that speech for him. Spot on, man. That was so spot on. That was absolutely 100% on the money. And I'm glad he said it the way he did. I think it's also telling that he was willing to stand up there and just say it like that too. There's no pulling punches. There's no, I need to be careful here. I don't want to say, no. He just went up there and said it, man. And I appreciate that. Now, what we also know is he also arrived soon thereafter. He went to Israel first. He spoke to the Knesset. He saw the hostages being released. 20 hostages were the last remaining known to be alive were returned, along with the remains of several others. And then he flew straight from there to Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. I mean, why not? Went straight from there to Sharm el-Sheikh, the Egyptian beach resort, about an hour before sundown, gathered up with 20 world leaders and sat there and chaired the group alongside President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi of Egypt. And he signed the peace accords. Y'all, just a day in the life of Trump, man. This is the left has got nothing. Ask yourself who the left's going to put up for president. What have they got? Do they have anybody? And what are they going to say? Well, we don't like the way he put law enforcement on the streets. It's mean. Okay. It's getting hard to do Never Trump when Trump keeps winning, right? Trump did an interview with Axios. I've got a copy of the discussion here. Axios. Phil, did you go to Axios? I did. I go to these places so you don't have to. But he told Axios that he felt like this Gaza peace deal is perhaps the biggest thing he's ever been involved in. And that may be true. When asked what his message to the Israeli people would be in his speech, he said it would be love and peace for eternity. And during his brief visit to Israel, he did meet with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the hostage families. He also claims that he would not have been able to reach this Gaza deal if he had not ordered the attack on Iran's nuclear facilities, like I said earlier. Very cool. What you got to do?
I was just going to add something that is, I think, a big deal in all of this and could be a positive sign is that there was no funny business from Hamas in terms of transferring over the hostages.
That's true.
You know, a lot of times they like to drag their feet, what I've seen, it was a peaceful transfer. Everything went according to plan.
Yeah.
And hopefully that is a positive sign going forward because this is historic and massive. It is also phase one of a 20-point plan for peace in that region. And part of that plan is going to have to require Hamas to lay down their arms and accept the deal of amnesty from some Hamas leaders if they, you know, lay down their arms and move on. So hopefully Hamas not making this a big theater, making a big circus, is a positive sign in terms of moving forward to actually complete the full 20-point plan. But I just thought that was interesting. I was expecting something, you know, some sort of, you know, dragging their feet, trying to make it. It looks like they just handed them over.
Yeah, I did. And Israel actually had busloads.
Yeah.
They had almost 2,000 prisoners they released. I think what we said yesterday was it was close to 200 of them were people who had already been serving life sentences that they released.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like 1,700 or so
that
were captured during the war.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's about the numbers, yeah.
Yeah. During his speech to the Knesset, by the way, he addressed Iran. Listen, like I said, he's not pulling punches. He basically spoke directly to Iran during his speech, says he wants a good relationship with that country even after we bombed him. And he says, to Iran, he said, we are ready when you are. It will be the best decision that Iran's ever made. It remains to see me whether they'll take it. He did heap a lot of praise, too, on Bibi Netanyahu. So Trump-Netanyahu is a partnership. At times they spar a little bit, but they actually spar as brothers in arms and not, it appears, as contentious adversaries. But speaking to reporters aboard Air Force One, according to townhall.com, Donald Trump heaped praise on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, touted their longstanding, close, and working relationship, saying, "I think he's done a great job. I think he's the right person at this time. He did a great job in working with me. He was fantastic." Now, a couple of interesting dynamics. I will point this out to you. These are some of those nuggets that are behind the scenes, right? So, first of all, just know this, that while there is peace with Israel, and when I say peace, I don't mean like they all love each other. I just mean they're not fighting right now. That Hamas is not through fighting. First of all, Hamas has not fully agreed to lay down their arms. That's yet to be determined. But Fox News has a piece. I hold it in my calloused former paratrooper hands. Dozens have now been killed in Gaza. This came out yesterday. Dozens have now been killed in Gaza during violent fighting over the weekend within hours of the expected release of hostages, but it was not with Israel. It was Hamas clashing with a local militia that they believe has been assisting Israel. So Hamas has now taken the fight to a group called the Dogmush Clan, and the Dogmush Clan suffered upwards of 52 members that are lost and 12 Hamas militants killed in the battle. So that's a significant fight right there. You're talking 64 people died in a gun battle. That's a lot. But that also indicates that there is a power struggle going on right now in the Gaza Strip. And Hamas does not own everything. You think they do. Maybe they like to say they do. They might be the biggest dog in the block there right now. But there are groups that are still opposed to Hamas that are willing to take up arms and take the fight to them. And so as Israel pulled back, they're still fighting, but it's Palestinian on Palestinian. And I wonder how many of the Palestinian protesters are going to talk about that. Not many, I spec. Last thing, I'm trying to stretch it out a little bit before I go to the break and get all the, I got one more article in. There's going to be the discussion coming up next about how to secure the victory, how to maintain the peace. They refer to it as the Council of Peace. There are going to be member nations who are going to provide a security force to make sure that peace is maintained. I feel certain that Israel will have a say in it, but will not participate in it because that could be inflammatory. Arab nations are going to be participating. Vice President J.D. Vance, according to Daily Wire, said yesterday, there will be no American boots on the ground in Israel, though troops in the region will monitor the ceasefire agreement. So what he's basically saying is, we may have upwards of 200 U.S. soldiers stationed in Israel as part of Central Command, but that we do not intend to put boots on the ground in Gaza as part of a peacekeeping organization. There's that. More to come. It's a huge, huge deal. It's a big, big day. It is like noteworthy. You're seeing history being made today, y'all. We're going to take a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Right before we came back on the air, I just said to JP, it occurred to me, just like off the cuff, that Trump got the peace deal signed just in time to get back so they can do the big No Kings protest in D.C.
Yep. The protest that the Democrats are holding out for so they can go to their radical base in person and say, we're fighting Trump.
Yeah.
And then immediately after the fact, they're probably just going to let the government reopen.
Yeah, reopen the government.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll vote now. We had our rally.
Yeah.
Psh. Turds.
And they keep talking about, well, the government's shut down and Trump is out golfing. You think he's really helping? It's like, you guys are the ones that are shooting down a clean CR.
Yeah.
It's the the Republicans aren't. I think the only Republican that's against it right now is Rand Paul.
I got it. Yeah, exactly. And Rand Paul just has a personal thing. He's never voted for CRs. Yeah. But I can't help but wonder what's going to happen with Trump directed Secretary of War Pete Hegseth to make sure the military got paid using other funds if necessary. I don't know if they're allowed to do that or not. I'm not sure how it's going to work out yet, but I was proud to see him do it. All right, let me get a few text messages real quick. Tim from Huntsville says, history has proven the folks/roaches will form again in the Middle East. They will not stop in Iran, etc. Promise you they are forming now. Iran and Russia will help because of Trump, Ukraine. Putin better watch it. Trump will bomb him, sick of his crap. My take, Colonel Phil. Tim, come back to the light, man. Come back to the light. By the way, please use punctuation next time. That was impossible to read almost. No, I mean, listen, I'm not saying that the world is going to be a world without war or without conflict or without at least discontent. But would you rather have it keep on like it was yesterday? I mean, we just got all the hostages back, dude. We just got a peace accord signed. Israel's not having to drop bombs on Gaza anymore. And oh, by the way, Iran's nuclear program is set back. So I guess you could have back what you had last year if you really prefer that. But the truth be told, I think the world's a better place because we didn't let, you know, Biden 2.0 go into office. Just saying. Pastor Joe from Athens says, Phil, I love your earlier call for wisdom. Couldn't agree more. We, in quotations, don't possess the tools these days we used to employ reflexively to go find the answers. Today, we simply ask a piece of technology programmed by a faceless collective and accept it as fact. I'm afraid it may have gone by the way of common sense. I pray there will be awakening before we come to the reckoning. Have an awakening before we come to the reckoning. I like the way that rings. And I agree, by the way. You got some over there? You had something you want to read on social medias? What do you got?
Oh, we got Fritzy, normally on the text line.
Fritzy!
Texting in on the X live stream. Says, Colonel, catching the show live on X today, broadening my horizons.
Nice! Yeah, I mean, you can listen. There's a lot of folks out there getting it, through different means, podcasting or on X or whatever. So please do. Sandy from Harvest says, I pray this peace agreement is acknowledged for the president. What an incredible achievement. This is epic, and even if it doesn't hold, let's not lose sight of this. Look, nobody can say he didn't do everything possible to get it to the point that they signed the agreement. They signed the agreement. That alone is huge. If they break the agreement, they will have to literally breach what they signed up for. It's not a matter of, well, we were still in negotiations. We never signed off on it. They signed it. So there's that. Paul from Decatur says, hey, Colonel Paul in Decatur, you mentioned the Dogmush. Were they like the Yards in Vietnam and the Kurds in Iraq? Mostly G's in our circles. Yeah, they were, I guess, part of a G-force and a guerrilla force, the indigenous folks there. But I don't know to what extent they were I think they're just more tribal than they are an ethnic minority, like the Kurds and the Montagnards. All right, that's it. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, my friends, Phil Williams here. You've heard me talk about Inspire Advisors, how Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors will help you grow your investment portfolio while also screening out the companies that don't stand for conservative Christian principles. Look, they are experts in what is known as biblically responsible investing, and they are now offering a limited opportunity for a free class on that BRI. Check out the class, register for free, their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. It's godly, it's conservative, it's financial freedom, y'all, with Inspire Advisors at www.moneypatternwealth.com. Check them out. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio.